Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, of course, we welcome your calls from all across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us with Candace, and we won't necessarily use her last name here, but she has lived in Texas for a long time. And she has, of course, studied some of the incredible things that happened there in the area around Huntsville Prison, where starting in the 1970s, many of the prisoners began to get sick, and some of them died. And then the guards got sick, and their families got sick. And then there were clusters of anterior lateral sclerosis and multiple sclerosis, things that you just never saw in this little rural community. And suddenly people are becoming ill. And, of course, the public health officials come in, and they can't quite figure what's going on. They know something's going on. Well, of course, something was going on. But everything has been done to conceal the truth about this, because the implications are that, of course, they would experiment on the American people, on the prisoners, and then allow those experiments to spread in the community. Why think of the implications? Why we might not trust the scientists. We might not believe that they have our best interests at heart. Well, Candace, how long have you been involved in researching what happened there in Texas, and what community specifically is this?
Well, I started researching back in 1996 towards the end when, at the time, my husband at that time became ill and my son was becoming ill. And didn't know quite what was going on. I'm sorry, it was the last part of 97.
Now, when did they start the experiments there at the prison?
They've had ongoing experiments for quite a number of years. And, in fact, one of the experiments alluded to during the Nuremberg trials was one in at the Stateville prison in Illinois, which was used to... inmates were used in a malaria experiment.
Now, that was, of course, during the 1940s?
Right.
All right, and of course, but it was felt, of course, that this was wrong. And at Nuremberg, they said this was wrong, and yet it was being covered up by the doctors who were involved in that. Was Dr. Ivey one of those doctors?
Yes, Dr. Ivey was one of them who was appointed as to the Green Committee, what they called the Green Committee. And Dr. Jonathan Moreno, who is head of bioethics at the University of Virginia, is wrote a book concerning this, and his book was very factual and credible with the documentation he had to prove it.
Now, what was the doctor's name?
Dr. Jonathan Moreno, head of bioethics at the University of Virginia.
Okay, what year did that book come out, you know?
I believe it was the last 2 years, I think it was.
And what was the title of the book?
I'm trying to think of it right now.
We'll get that information from you later. But, of course, this is coming out, but the public is not hearing about it. And so these were experiments that were done on prisoners, they can justify it. Well, it was wartime. We had to know about malaria. But do you have the right to experiment on prisoners without their knowledge or consent? And that is the big thing that we have to consider. And then, of course, the experiments were done at Huntsville were not done during wartime at all. We're going to be back in just a moment and just to discuss more of this incredible story about what happened in Huntsville and, of course, what happened even to the people who've been trying to investigate what took place. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Candace. We're not going to use her last name, but, of course, she has been researching for some years of strange and mysterious illness that had struck the area around the Huntsville prison in Texas. And was the community called Huntsville, or what was the community called?
It is Huntsville, Texas. We have about 8 prisons surrounding Huntsville, the city of Huntsville.
All right, fine. And so it was in Huntsville, Texas. And when did the illness start coming, appearing in the general community?
Well, there was some mentioning of it in the Huntsville Item, the newspaper we have here, in 1994. There was a group of people that got together trying to figure out what it was, and that's when Dr. Garth Nicholson entered the picture.
Of course, the illness had been there for a long time. Weren't a lot of the experiments carried out in the 70s?
That's correct, and we had recombinant DNA experiments that were carried out in the Texas prisons. Now, you and I know what that means, but most lay people don't know what that means.
Why don't you explain to them what recombinant DNA experiments were?
That's where they can insert one particular type of pathogen into another type of pathogen. And that's where the mycoplasmas come in, because the mycoplasmas are a wall-less structure, and they are as tiny as a virus, although they are a bacteria.
All right, and so basically what they did was they took a part of the envelope gene of HIV, which of course produces AIDS, and they put that on a mycoplasma, and of course then it made it much more aggressive. It could attach to the cell, it could invade the cell, it could destroy the cell. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, and it could lay dormant for a while until something triggered it.
Okay. And so they were using the genetically engineered organisms on American citizens. Then did they try to come up with a vaccine to see if they could prevent its spread? Or what was this really all about? As you've analyzed this and spent many years in researching this at a great personal cost, but of course you've been trying to find out what really happened in this area. When did the clusters of Lou Gehrig's disease and multiple sclerosis come about?
Well, there was a letter from Jim Turner, Senator Jim Turner, and Hightower, House Representative at that time, that stated there was a particular neuroskeletal problems that were going on in this area, and there was in one neighborhood at least 5 people who came down with Lou Gehrig's disease.
And you just don't see this. There has to be some sort of an inciting cause.
That's correct.
And of course, but when did what year was it? It all really began.
The experiments with the mycoplasma, there was actually 8 experiments.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt here because we're going to have to bring on one more station. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
All right, this is Dr. Stan, and we're talking about the grotesque experiments. They really, the Nazi type of experiments, they were done on the prisoners at Huntsville Prison. And then, of course, the disease spread from the prisoners into the guards, and from the guards into their families, and then into the general community. Now, you couldn't let the American people know about this because, of course, mycoplasmas are found in Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis. They're found in AIDS. They're found in chronic fatigue. They're found in fibromyalgia. All of these are, at least many of these, are new diseases, and there's so many other diseases out there that are affecting the general population that have been unleashed, and many of these people actually do have the mycoplasma infections with genetically engineered mycoplasmas. But, if we let the American people know that, why that lose confidence in the scientists that these people, these superior people, of course, who are just experimenting for the good of mankind, or maybe just to find out what's going to happen, or maybe like the Nazis, scientists, to further their careers. So you pick up the story. When did this really all start? What are we talking about? We know that many of these experiments were carried on in the early 1970s, mid-1970s.
Right.
When did people start getting sick?
Well, in 1994, there was the Houston Post reported where, and I'll quote from here, state authorities are trying to pin down the cause of more than 100 cases of neuromuscular disease that have occurred within a 20-mile radius of the small East Texas town of Riverside.
And how close is that to Huntsville?
Riverside's about 9 miles from Huntsville.
All right, fine.
Gene Bender, and I'll go on quoting, Gene Bender, an epidemiologist with the Texas Department of Health, said this week that the agency is waiting for more information from residents now compiling data about the cluster of diseases around their hometown. Bender said health officials are looking at whether the diseases, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, and Lou Gehrig's disease could be caused literally by something in the water. We don't get many reports of these kinds of conditions, she said. This is the first report that I can recall where a variety of conditions have been reported. So, in other words, if you have a bunch of people with different diseases, then you don't necessarily have a cluster. You do have a variety of diseases. And that could be paramount upon how many vaccines maybe a person had or what whom they were exposed to, if they had worked in the prison system, or if they were exposed to someone who had worked in the prison system. Maybe they had some family members that were inmates that participated in some of these experiments.
All right. Well, now, were the prisoners aware of the fact they were being experimented on?
Yes. A lot of them volunteered for it, but the volunteering was magnified by you'll get away from the TDC unit. You'll have free food, free magazines. You know, it was eliciting certain things from inmates. And if you've never visited a prison, if you get a chance to do that, then you would. I would ask that you would, because then you would see why an experiment doesn't seem that much to them, because it's a way to get out from underneath the daily toil that they have to go through in a prison setting. There's one particular scientific document that I found through my research through the Freedom of Information Act, and it is listed as number 6 in that volume 1 that we had discussed about.
Right.
It's the agenda, and it's the 354th meeting, May 16, 1977. Now, in this particular agenda, there is a list of bacteria that they're using on a particular segment of the inmate population that said that they wanted to go ahead and volunteer for this particular experiment. But the problem I have is they have what is called Mycoplasma SP, which doesn't really define what type of mycoplasma. Now, we know that Dr. Shai-Ching Lo has a patent on Mycoplasma fermentans incognitus.
And, of course, Dr. Shai-Ching Lo works for the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology.
Correct.
And, of course, this is what he seems to have is this a genetically engineered type of mycoplasma that he's patented, or do we know?
I don't know that for sure. Myself, I don't know.
All right, fine. But of course, he talks about it, and I have a copy of the patent, and of course, it talks about it, of course, as, you know, these found in AIDS.
Right.
It's found in chronic fatigue syndrome.
Correct.
It's found in fibromyalgia. It's found in many other diseases.
And lupus.
And he's patented this, this mycoplasm, presumably, so that he can get some sort of a blood test and make a lot of money out of it. But, of course, this actually belongs to the government because he's a government employee.
Correct. Now, this reason why I mentioned that this Mycoplasma SP is on here is because they had quite a few other things, bacteria that were mentioned. And there was adenoviruses, picornaviruses, herpes viruses, simian virus 40, which we know was a contaminant of the polio vaccine, rubella virus.
The SV40, that is the cancer-producing virus, isn't it?
Correct.
All right, and of course, the adenovirus is what gives us colds. So they were experimenting with all of these on the prisoners. Did the prisoners know what they were going to be experimented on?
No, they just said that there would be a mix of pathogens that would either be sprayed in the nose, or they would inhale somehow, or maybe it would be administered intramuscularly, and they weren't for sure. How would they know to ask these questions when the average grade level of the inmate, of the offender or inmate back then, would be about seventh grade, and that would be a high level.
Now, of course, did some of them die of the, or some of them become ill because of the experiments?
There were a lot of deaths that the agendas and minutes do mention, but we can't be for sure if the deaths were contributed to the experiments at all.
Now, of course, didn't the prison authorities deny that these things took place? And, of course, there was no way to challenge them until you found these secret records, more or less?
Correct. They did deny them for a long time, and in fact, they said it was like the mystery illness that keeps reoccurring. And they had made fun of the fact that it was an urban legend. And they
knew all the time what they'd been doing then.
I think they did know. I don't know how they wouldn't have known with the minutes and agendas being there.
And of course, were these meetings that were actually held at the prison?
The meeting?
Yes.
You mean about the what they were going to approve or disapprove
yes,
as far as...
this meeting 354 that you talked
yes,
about.
Yes, yes. That, well, it wasn't at the prisons that they would meet. The boards would meet with the doctors from Baylor or MD Anderson and would decide if they would go ahead and do that research.
All right. Now, there's a large medical school at Baylor, and, of course, MD Anderson is the MD Anderson, a cancer clinic, which is there. And then they were already going along. They were under government contract. Do we know whether this is being funded part of one of these macabre government experiments to experiment on the American population?
These were government-funded experiments. The National Institutes of Health were involved. United States Public Health System was involved, and I do have a letter in my hand right now dated March 6, 2000, which does finally admit that they used, that Baylor used mycoplasma pneumoniae, but specifically said they did not use mycoplasma incognitus.
All right, and of course, did some of these people actually have the mycoplasma incognitus?
There were a lot of people within the area that did test positive for Mycoplasma fermentans incognitus.
All right, and so there is a Mycoplasma fermentans, and that's a very a regular form of mycoplasma. And then, of course, there's a subgroup, which is Mycoplasma fermentans incognitus, and that is the one that Dr. Nicholson has found appears to be genetically engineered. Is that right?
Correct. And in fact, the letter that I have, that Dr. Nicholson has, because I had sent it to him, this is the first time they did admit any kind of mycoplasma use ever.
But why should we believe anything they said? Because they've been lying up until now. Why should we believe they're telling the truth now?
I don't really believe it because, like I said, that one particular experiment that I read to you that just said it had mycoplasma SP, that's SP stands for species, but it doesn't give an identity of what species. Now, Garth had recently been interviewed by a reporter friend of mine, and he said that he thought that they were doing a bait-and-switch act at that time. So by saying mycoplasma species, they could have put any kind of mycoplasma in with all the other adenoviruses and SV40 and whatever else they were using.
Why did they want to infect people with mycoplasma? Now, we know that this produces influenza. We know it produces urethritis. But it also seems to be related to the chronic fatigue syndrome and the fibromyalgia that is suddenly so prevalent since, of course, I think the first cases reported of chronic fatigue were reported in Klein Village in the mid-1980s.
Right.
It didn't exist before that. And suddenly, a new cluster of diseases at Klein Village are totally incapacitated today. There are between 800,000 and 1 million Americans who are disabled by this new disease, and the government's done everything they could to block efforts to find out what it was. And if you haven't gotten the book, Osler's Web by Hillary Johnson, that's Osler's Web by Hillary Johnson. I don't think we have any more than we did have a few. But, you know, get it out of your library. Read it. It's the most incredible story of how the government has done everything they could to block investigations of this terrible, terrible disabling disease.
Well, and speaking of books, I do have Jonathan Moreno's book. It was 1999. Its title was Undue Risk, Secret State Experiments on Humans.
And Jonathan Moreno, M-A-R-I-N-O?
M-O-R-E-N-O.
All right. And it's called Undue Risk.
Yes.
It sure didn't get much of a play.
No, and I know that it was on one documentary channel, but I can't remember which channel it was on. But there was where he, you know, came aboard and said what he said. But I think the most interesting part of this all is the ethical part of the experiments where Dr. Ivey had gone to testify at the Nuremberg Code trials, saying that we did have ethics when we really didn't. So our ethics have been based upon a lie.
And of course, I think what people have to understand is that when you have moral people, you have ethics and you have integrity. Unfortunately, most of our scientists, very few of them are coming from a Judeo-Christian point of view. Of course, everything is, well, what's wrong with lying about it? But science is what we have to advance. And unfortunately, we have people who are more interested in advancing science. They are in getting to the truth about what's really going on. And they are concealing from the American people some of the most macabre experiments you've ever heard of. We'll talk more about this when we get back here at Radio Liberty.
Hey, Anglo-American establishment that gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is Dr. Stan here, and I just want to mention that if you feel run down, if you feel that you need more energy, have you ever considered taking Be Alive Royal Jelly? Now, I've taken this for about 10 years on my own and along with my family. We've been very, very satisfied with it, and recently why the Be Alive people approached us and asked if we'd like to have them sponsor us for a month. So we certainly agreed to that because we think it's a great product, and I think you will too. Let me suggest that you call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. The product is sold with a money-back guarantee. So give them a call at 1-866-233-7500 and simply ask to learn more about Be Alive Royal Jelly. I think that you'll be very, very satisfied with this product. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention a couple of the other products, of course, which we carry. One of them, of course, is the Big Berkey water filters, and you can either get the Big Berkey, which is stainless steel, or you can get the Berkey Light, which is made of Lexan, and it's transparent. The Big Berkey has ceramic filters. The Berkey Light has a Black Berkey filter. They're very effective filters. The Big Berkey is $239 and, of course, $10 shipping. The Berkey Light is $199. The Big Berkey is not available in California. The Berkey Light is available in all states but the state of Iowa. You can see these on our website. If you go up there at RadioLiberty.com, they'll take out the bacteria. They'll take out most of the chemicals there, the pesticides, they'll take out part of the chlorine, they'll take out many of the things you don't want in your drinking water. Both of them are excellent. We hope that many of you will check them out and seriously consider getting either the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will be interested in perhaps getting something called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a wonderful program aimed at teaching children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And, of course, the tragedy of today is that children are not being taught how to read properly. They're being taught where the look-see method was designed to deliberately dumb them down. And that's why, I mean, if you look at the statistics today of children graduating from high school, 1 in 4 cannot read at the fourth grade level. They are intentionally dumbing down our children. Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly. And, of course, there actually it's 5 board games, 2 bonus games. We throw in a couple of books. $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Candace. We're talking about the research on what happened in Huntsville, Texas. And unfortunately, this sort of thing has been going on for a long time. And, of course, what happened is they unleashed these diseases in the prisons, and then they spread into the guards, and then into the guards' families. Is that right, Candace?
That would be the typical way that it would spread. In fact, some of their own protocols state that some people may become infected that did not volunteer. One of the minutes that I want to mention in the Texas Board of Corrections is the 350th meeting. It is dated September 13, 1976, and it was held at the Dallas Hilton Hotel in Dallas, Texas. Now, this particular protocol, the title of it was the development of a reproducible and effective challenge system for mycoplasma pneumoniae. The granting agency at this time was the United States Public Health System, and it has the PH number 4368963. The duration of the time for the support was from October 1st, 1966 to October 1st, 1976. So you see that it's quite a few years that this transpires. And there's one particular reading on this protocol that states, and I'll quote, certain viral and mycoplasmal infections may be more important than others in causing pulmonary dysfunction acutely and possibly permanently.
But I think, you know, it's so interesting. I was trained as a physician in the 1940s and early 50s. We never saw mycoplasma infections until about the 1980s, when suddenly we began talking about atypical pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly 25% of our pneumonias are atypical. And what do you think causes them? Why, mycoplasmas.
Right.
Go ahead.
It also goes by another term called walking pneumonia.
Right.
So
they've introduced these products into our general community. Why would they do something like that? Were they trying to learn how to cure it, or were they just trying to see what would happen?
Well, it's kind of like what Dr. Nicholson said. You don't want to fool around with something you don't know about. It's mad scientists out of control. Now, when we look at, as coming from as a criminologist in the criminal justice system, and I'm looking at why would someone at this high level of education would do such an unethical, immoral thing to the public?
Now, for our listeners, why, Candace says you have a master's in criminal justice, don't
you?
Yes,
sir. Master of Arts degree in criminology and criminal justice.
Okay. Why would these scientists, these supposedly so educated people, they're so far superior to us common folks, why would they do such a thing?
Well, there was something that Emil Durkheim had called the Anomie Theory, where he said that a person's desire is like an abyss. You know, when the normal controls kind of go out the window and you become so consumed with whatever you're looking at. And I think we see that in the genetic testing that we've done and in the types of stem cell research that's going on right now. But then again, you have to look at, would I, as a dying human, say that I could not go and take this stem cell research? I wouldn't know. But I know that there's some people out there that would. But as far as the scientists go, they wore many hats, as the Nazi scientists did during Hitler's time. They wear the hat of scientists. They wear the hat of a public health person.
And people have to understand the Tuskegee study. It was for a period of 40 years. They recruited almost 400 black men with syphilis, and of course they withheld treatment. And of course they wanted to see how the syphilis would ravage their bodies. From 1932 to 1972, they blocked the efforts of these men to obtain treatment.
Right.
And they followed them throughout the country to make sure they didn't get treatment so they would die. And all but about 65 of them, or something like that, did eventually die. And, of course, they had a chance to autopsy them to see how the disease had ravaged their bodies. And where was the outcry from the scientific community? Who was ever tried or convicted for this macabre experiment that ended in 1972? Not because the scientists thought anything wrong with it. In fact, almost all of them thought it was perfectly all right. They had a special panel. Only one doctor, a university professor, said, this is wrong, it's immoral. And the rest of them said, oh no, it's being done in the name of science. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, when a country turns its back on God, why, of course, anything is possible. We'll be back here in just a moment or two. Of course, you go on, and we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Could such things happen in America after Tuskegee? Why, I'd like to suggest they're going on right now, but why New York Times and the Washington Post aren't telling you about it. We'll be back here in just a moment to continue our program.
except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I want to tell you a little bit about something called Miracle 2 soap products. Now, we can't make any medical claims for these. I can only tell you that we have an awful lot of calls from our customers who take this, these products, and whether for one reason or another, the neutralizer, some people say it's wonderful for their bowels activity, and other people tell us it's wonderful for heartburn. All we can do is suggest if you'd like to try these, it's a very alkaline, mineralized solution, that's the neutralizer, but... And so many people have given us glowing reports of what it's done for them. In fact, if I told you some of the reports we get, you'd find it difficult to believe. One reason we carry this is because we use the products ourselves. The gel, of course, has helped me with a rash. Whether it'll help you, you just have to try it and find out. And, of course, I use the moisturizing soap. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And check into the Miracle 2 soap products. You can go up on our website and read all about them. That's RadioLiberty.com, and look up Miracle 2 soap products. And then, of course, we want to mention we carry a homeschooling program. It's called the Robinson Homeschool Program. And it's on the 22 CDs. It'll take your children from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. The only thing that you need, of course, is the Saxon math textbooks. All the other textbooks are there, and you print them out. You don't let your child near a computer until they're 16. You want them reading. You want them learning. You want them fascinated by education. And, of course, this is not what they're getting in the public schools today. Our children there know far more about the sex than they do about Shakespeare, far more about Madonna than they do about mathematics, far more about Michael Jackson than they do Andrew Jackson. And so let me suggest the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we have Ruth calling from Pennsylvania. I'll ask you to hold on just a minute. I wanted to read something. It was written by a man named Elie Wiesel. It was called One Generation After. It was published in 1970. Spring 1945. Emerging from the nightmare, the world discovers the camps, the death factories, the senseless horror, the debasement, the absolute reign of evil. Victory tastes of ashes. Yes, it's possible to defile life and creation and feel no remorse, to tend one's garden and water one's flowers but two steps away from barbed wire, to experiment with monstrous mutations and still believe in the soul and immortality. There was, then, a technique, a science of murder, complete with specialized laboratories, business meetings, and progress charts. Those engaged in its practice didn't belong to a gutter society of misfits, nor could they be dismissed just as a collection of rabble. Many held degrees in philosophy, sociology, biology, general medicine, psychiatry, and the fine arts. There were lawyers among them, and unthinkable but true, theologians. And that's what happens when, of course, you have a country that's turned its back on God, where the universities, as they were in Germany, of course, were not teaching morality, but, of course, the superiority of the white race, and, of course, the right to destroy those of inferior character, the gypsies, the Jews, and the Christians. Did you know that 12 million Christians died in the concentration camps in Germany? The reference for that would be Norman Cohn's book, Warren for Genocide. 12 million others died, but we never talk about them because we don't want the Christians in America to ever think anything bad could happen to them. We've got Ruth calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Ruth. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to ask your guest. and I'm asking this for a reason, the second follow-up question why I'm asking this. Is there any naturally occurring mycoplasm in nature, or are all mycoplasm weaponized from the brucellosis virus?
The question is, are there naturally occurring mycoplasms? Is it just do people ordinarily sometimes just get them out of nature?
Well, when I went to New Mexico to statewide, I didn't want them to aerosolize Bacillus clubeti at the time they were going to do it. There is natural infections, but if you start putting it in a different form or genetically engineering it using the use of recombinant DNA techniques, then it becomes more deadly and more dangerous to the human population. We live with diseases around us all the time. But as far as anything being purposefully manipulated, then we have to question the ethics and the morals behind it.
The reason I'm asking you this is because I was curious about my autoimmune problem in my high ANA, which you guys will know what it is. But I was tested for mycoplasma, and it showed that I had it once in my system, and it's no longer there. That's what they said. There's two types of mycoplasma.
Let me explain to you, it's very, very hard. First of all, what they would be doing would looking for antibodies, but
right.
They don't know whether it's there or not. Because, of course, this is an intracellular organism. If I could suggest that you go to the website immed.org, that's Garth Nicholson's website, and he's done more work on the mycoplasm and the genetically modified mycoplasms than anybody else. There are normal occurring mycoplasms, a very innocuous organisms. The Germans started to do work on this after the during the Second World War to create a new and deadly pathogen, and some of the doctors, I have been told, who were brought to America after the Second World War under Operation Paperclip, in other words, they were German scientists, many of them were Nazi scientists, who should have been tried and convicted and of course executed for their war crimes against the Jews and the Christians, they were brought to America and given comfortable jobs here. Under Operation Paperclip, an interesting study is to try to find a copy of Linda Hunt's book, The Secret Agenda, going into the background of Operation Paperclip. And they're almost impossible to get. The book is only maybe a little over a decade old. But somebody's bought those books up, and they just all disappeared. I wonder why.
Well, that's all I had. Thank you.
Fine. But let me just mention, of course, that, yes, mycoplasma infection can create autoimmune disease, among other things. And the ANA that you described is certainly a marker for autoimmune disease, specifically what we refer to as lupus or lupus-like disease. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Go to immed.org. That's immed.org. And let me suggest an excellent site, because we're only beginning to scratch the surface of what we're talking about here today. But you better understand that there are all sorts of new diseases that have been created. And if you have not read my June newsletter, my June newsletter, you need to get it. It'll be up at our website at radioliberty.com, or if you'd like a free copy and you don't subscribe to the newsletter, shame on you. But if you'd like a free copy, well, I would be glad to send you a free copy of the June newsletter, which just goes into some of the new diseases that are out there that have been, well, they're all just new diseases. They never occurred before, and yet they're all coming online since, the late 1960s, about the time that the government began their program of genetic engineering in the name of fighting cancer, why they hired thousands of scientists to create new diseases. We just wanted to see what we could accomplish, always in the name of science. Well, Candace, let's get back, of course, to what you've uncovered there in the Huntsville area. So they were holding these secret meetings. How did you get the records of this? Because they didn't really want you to find it, did they?
I did a Freedom of Information Act letter, and I had worked for the prison before, and so I knew a lot of people within the prison system. And through the Freedom of Information Act letter, I was allowed to search through the minutes and agendas. And when I found it, I can tell you exactly how I felt. I felt like I'd swallowed lead in my stomach when I saw the word mycoplasma. Of course, at that time, my son was ill, and they were waiting for him to develop juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And he was 10 and a half years old. He was unable to walk and wheelchair-bound, and we went through, 13 hours of pain, what I call pain episodes, where his knees would swell and contract. Now, they found through my veterinarian friends that I talked to about this swelling and contracting in the joints and his knees in particular, they said that they found the same thing within animals that had a mycoplasma infection.
All right, and did you, was he actually treated with antibiotics?
Yes, he was. When I finally found a pediatrician, after giving him all the research that I found and the discovery of the experiments that occurred in the prison system, he was written a prescription for the tetracycline.
All right, fine. Now, what happened to many of the prisoners that can develop these multiple, because this can affect your joints, it can affect your thyroid, it can affect your autoimmune system, it can affect your lungs, your urinary system, it can affect your heart, your blood vessels, it can affect any system in the body.
And as their own protocol said, it can cause certain acute and possibly permanent pulmonary damage.
So they just gave it to the prisoners anyway.
It's funny that you mentioned the Tuskegee syphilis study, because in my thesis that I wrote, which was cut at least three times before it was decided okay in a university format, and that's why I went back to school, was to get this information out in a university format approved by a university. The title of the thesis is Ethical Issues of Human Experimentation, with Emphasis on Experiments Conducted at the Texas Prison System. The forced sterilization, as I'm sure you remember, when they, Justice Holmes said in 1927 that, yes, we're going to go ahead and do this forced sterilization, it was only 5 years after the 1927 Supreme Court ruling that allowed forced sterilization of the deemed unfit before the Tuskegee syphilis study began.
And I think people have to understand that all of the things that happened in Adolf Hitler's Germany had their origins here in the United States. In fact, as Rudolf Hess said, Nazism is only applied science. They were sterilizing, of course, the Jews and the mentally defective people who had psychiatric diseases, because, of course, they didn't want them to reproduce, because they didn't want to produce more imbeciles or people with mental defect. But the Germans got the idea from the United States. What people don't understand is that, I've forgotten whether it was 25 or 60,000 people, helpless people, were sterilized here in America under this same mentality of Margaret Sanger's, who was deeply involved with theosophy and with the occult. And then, of course, after the Second World War, they had to give up what they called eugenics, because, of course, it had a bad ring. It smacked of Nazism. So they began to call it family planning and population control.
Right, and that was nothing more than eugenics.
Right, and
it's
still
the ruling was case of Buck versus Bell, the superintendent, and she was a young woman that was deemed unfit, and her mother had been committed to the same institution, and she was 17 at the time, and she also had an illegitimate child who was also deemed feeble-minded. The problem with that is that we have a few people, academia people, who are then told by the government, and that's where you have your partnership between government and science. And that is, to me, an unethical and unhealthy partnership, because then they become, it's like us against them. And that's where, you know, notoriety, fame, fortune, that kind of thing can overtake someone's ethical reasoning into why they would go and do something like that.
And of course, sometimes people who are mentally defective can have brilliant, brilliant children.
Correct.
And I know of instances where that's actually happened. But of course, if the eugenists had their way, the children would never be born. Let's go to Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Yes, I'm listening with great interest to your very knowledgeable guests. And in more recent times, the Mycoplasma incarnitus fermentis has been identified in Gulf War veterans, and those that are doing research on these contrails, the gelatinous stuff that comes out after those contrails has also been found to have this mycoplasma.
If you could document that, I'd like to hear that. I know it's been
found. I've heard that my sources, people on the Internet, and especially many sources in Europe, and those of us that have understood Operation Paperclip know that many German Nazis were brought and still exist. This primarily in 1946 and 47. They came to Alamogordo, New Mexico, and they still live there under protected status. So there's a Luftwaffe there
yes,
that
correct.
Has a German national territory, just like our Indian reservations, and the government lets them do what they want. And they're also connected to that, the biggest military base there in Texas. They have an underground, tunnelized rat line where they travel with impunity. And yes, the people have to understand, as many educated, and I know you people know this, the core of the CIA is actually built around the Bush and a lot of the Bush people that have this, the CIA, German Nazis are the core of today's CIA, and they have, and part of the, and you keep asking why, I think they have a plan for genetically specific viruses that will knock out certain groups of minorities, because they want to depopulate the world, because there's just, for one thing, they don't want the old people living so long, because they intend to destroy Social Security and Medicare, and you, what you do, you get rid of the rabbits first, and then you, the rest that won't go along with it, some will die and some will become your slaves. That's how the billionaires, that's your New World Order, and that's my comment, and thank you both. I'm listening with great interest.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
If you think what Ben is saying is pretty far out, let me suggest the book by Alexandra Robbins on the Skull and Bones Society. We actually carry the book on the Skull and Bones. She wrote, and of course she's very, really almost supportive in some respects of Skull and Bones, but you'll find the strong Nazi connection. I mean, here's this group of college seniors, and they're singing Nazi songs, and they have Nazi memorabilia in this secret tomb, that they call it, where the Skull and Bones meet. And, of course, I would feel far better if our president would renounce his membership of the Skull and Bones, to which his father and his grandfather belonged, because, of course, this is an American extension of a secret occult, a German organization that, of course, has its, certainly its foundations in the ancient mystery religions of antiquity. But, of course, Alexandra Robbins' wonderful book on Skull and Bones, Secrets of the Tomb We Carry. You need to get our four-tape set on the Skull and Bones Society. Yes, there really are people today who see absolutely nothing wrong with what Adolf Hitler did, because, of course, they believe that there is a superior Aryan race. Why don't you pick it up from there, Candace?
Well, when we look at the AIDS epidemic that we have right now, the black population suffers a great deal more from AIDS.
Now, I wonder why that is. Could that just be coincidence, or could it be that this is genetically engineered? And I will tell you that the HIV virus has a tendency to attack people with certain genes. And you know, there's a pair of genes that the blacks have that the rest of us don't have, which is why over 60% of all new HIV cases reported just happen to appear in blacks. And I don't think that's just coincidence. Let's go to Nathan, who's calling us from Contra Costa. Hi, Nathan.
Well, hello.
Running out of time.
Program. I do have to disagree with you on one small point. I didn't get the sense that Miss Robbins was supportive in any way of the Skull and Bones. In fact, she wrote, I've heard her on the radio, and she's quite excellent in exposing them. But, yes, definitely I have to fall on the heels of that last gentleman, and I'm going to feel like Elmer Fudd doing it. But, you know, this is really, really strange to me. I don't understand how in 1978 we had a situation where I remember my textbook, or it might have been a little bit later in the 1980s, but I remember that around that time they had licked all of the diseases. You know, we just had a few strains of TB somewhere in Ethiopia.
Right.
Now all of a sudden we're hearing about diseases everywhere in the world, and you know what's really, really, really strange as far as this whole New World Order thing that the gentleman previous to me brought up, and I'll just make this comment and get off the air. In 1961, on September 20th, both the United States and the Soviet Union made the announcement that they both favored one world government. And this, of course, was under the Kennedy administration and also after Stalin in Russia, Khrushchev, his administration. And yet at the very same time, Khrushchev said, "We will bury you." Around that very soon, maybe a little bit before, but I guess my question really is, who really is behind the movement towards depopulation? Is it our boys here, or is it, you know, some people allege people in the rival New World Order bloc, the communists, or is it really all the same thing? I mean, that's one thing I've never really been able to quite figure out, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, fine. Thanks so much, Nathan, and let me suggest you go to my website, radioliberty.com, and read my Population Control Agenda monograph, and then, of course, get our at radioliberty.com, our April, May, and June newsletters. Of course, they will give you the background to the July newsletter, which I think is the best thing that's available now to answer certainly the question that Nathan has raised. Who is behind the world population control agenda that has resulted in 70, almost 70 million people either infected with HIV or dying or already dead from that disease, a totally unnecessary epidemic? Candace, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, I just want each and every one of them to read more about our history in America. If we are truly a free America, then we wouldn't have the partnership. Agent Orange is another example of how there was a partnership between government and science.
Amen to that. And of course, they lied to the American people about Agent Orange. Gee, you wonder when, you know, can tell when they're lying because their lips are moving. God bless you, Candace. Thank you so much for telling us this story, and I'm going to get you on again to tell our other audiences, because people need to understand the evil that we face. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did.
It's
an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination date.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we carry a wonderful book on the JFK assassination. It's called Regicide. It's based upon the papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was the Deputy Assistant Director of Clandestine Operations for the CIA. They were the ones who killed the people, or supervised their being killed. And this book tells how the CIA killed Kennedy, why they killed Kennedy, President Kennedy, and, of course, the book has a list of 4,000 CIA assets or people Mr. Crowley felt that he could call upon for his nefarious deeds, and one of them happened to be my next-door neighbor. So I think that the book has a certain amount of authority to it. I recommend it to you. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's called Regicide. And you need to get that. You need to get, of course, the four-tape set on the Kennedy assassination, or better still, get the Kennedy special, and you can substitute any of the books you'd like for the books we regularly offer. So then, of course, you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly want to mention the new video. It's called Iraq, the Untold Story, because this is simply not the story of Iraq. It's the story of all of the wars of the last century. And all of them were contrived. None of them were fought for the reasons that the American boys who fought and bled and suffered and died were told. And now they're even talking now about a new draft. How'd you like to have your son or your daughter or your father or your brother taken off to another senseless war halfway around the world, where they'd be shot at and hated by the local populace? Oh, we'll be welcomed in Iraq. Everybody will love us for being there. Well, of course, it's really not true at all. But, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to get informed, and you've got to help us inform others, because we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported, and we do need your help to reach out across America 5 hours every day, and now on about 58 different outlets across America every week. whether it be internet or satellite or shortwave or radio stations or weekend programming, going to some 35 radio stations and hopefully even more as soon as we can, of course, get the funding to do it. And when you join the Radio Liberty family, you become part of our effort to reach the American people with the truth about what's happening. And that is, we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And the wicked and evil people are working at the highest levels of our government. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, and you need to read what the occultists and Satanists say about how, of course, for hundreds of years, these people have been working to bring about an association of world democracies. That's what they talk about. Why, they sound just like the current administration. We want democracy. What if we, of course, try to establish republics throughout the world? Rule of law, where people can be free, rather than democracies, which, of course, is the goal of the Marxists and the elitists and the Satanists. Because Manly P. Hall, who writes, and you'll see extensively quoted in my book, talks about this program in place by the secret societies for hundreds of years to create world democracies. If you haven't read Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. It's only $12.95. Of course, we hope you'll get the Brotherhood of Darkness special, get the video and the audio tape and the book for $29.95. It'll be the best investment you've ever made. And, of course, many people have told me this book has changed their lives. It's called Brotherhood of Darkness. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Let me mention, of course, the Be Alive Royal Jelly products, which I've personally taken for 9 years, or maybe 10 years. I can't remember how long I've taken it, but, you know, it's designed by nature to give you more in the way of energy. And if you take it for 3 months and you don't feel any better, they'll give you your money back, but they don't get very many people who take the product for 3 months who do not feel better. And so if you'd like to learn about Be Alive Royal Jelly products, call 866-233-7500. It's nature's way to give you more energy. 866-233-7500. I take Alamax, and both my wife and I take it. It's a garlic product because, of course, it cuts down on colds. At least there are studies that suggest it cuts down on colds. And, of course, garlic is good for your blood pressure and your cholesterol. Let me suggest you call 866-405-4000 for Alamax, a garlic product. And then, of course, if you'd like to know more about the Big Berkey water filters, why don't you, of course, go to our website, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and you can see pictures of the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light. If you buy them through us, you'll get a free video or a free four-tape set, which, of course, goes right along as a free gift if you buy one of the Berkey water filters through Radio Liberty. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will, tell others about our radio programs. Tell them about our website. If you'd like, as I said earlier, a free copy of our newsletter, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll send you a copy of the June newsletter, which will help you to understand why there are new diseases cropping up across America, why so many of them are antibiotic resistant, why there's so many new cancers. You need to get the information. You need to become involved, because the life you save could very well be that of a loved one or your own. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our ministers and for our leaders. But also we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection, because we're on the front lines of this battle. Every day, every weekday, our program is heard from all across the nation. Certainly our internet programs are heard all throughout the world, and people are up at the break of dawn to be listening to our internet programs. We're a growing audience, and of course it's all financed by those of you who believe in what we're doing. Consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.